Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fly Brother Radio Show on the Industry Entertainment Network. I'm Ernest White II, storyteller and explorer and creator of the multicultural travel website flybrother.net. As part of my storytelling, I've had my travel writing published in places like Time Out Magazine, USA Today, Getaway Magazine, Panorama, Travel and Escape, Ebony, and at TravelChannel.com. I've lived in 5 countries and traveled to over 50, and I'm not saying all that to say that I'm all that. I just want to give you a little motivation, some inspiration, a few tricks and tips to go off and live an amazing fly life for yourself. Today on the Fly Brother Radio Show, I talk to Sienna Brown, expat, entrepreneur, speaker, and optimist. As the founder of Las Morenas de España, Sienna is redefining the conversation about what it means to be living and thriving abroad as a person of color. In her recent TED Talk and Now This News, she conveys the themes of shared stories and implements the resources of her mission to help people create lives that they truly love. We'll talk all about travel, Spain, everyday life abroad, surrendering to your purpose, and a whole lot more. But before that, every week here on the Industry Entertainment Network, we highlight a community partner, either a small business, charity, or community service organization. This week, we're highlighting the Foundation for Fortitude. Education has always been an important determining factor in the opportunities that will be afforded in the future of an individual. The more highly educated a person is, the more career and life options open to them. Many of the young women helped by the Foundation for Fortitude are first-generation college students, and that in itself can impose a different emotional and mental strain than other college students will face. To ease the transition, Foundation for Fortitude provides mentoring as well as exposure to leaders within the community and their college environment that will give them a strong support system on which to lean and trust both while they are students and later as they graduate. They offer financial support in the form of scholarships to these young women identified as being in need of monetary support for their education. But they don't stop there. Other components of the programs provide skills and knowledge to set the students up for success and give them a strong step forward within the competitive and demanding career world. For more information, go to www.foundationforfortitude.org and let them know that the Industry Entertainment Network sent you. We'll be right back with La Morena de España, Sienna Brown, on the Fly Brother Radio Show, right after this.
There's a conclusion to my illusion, I assure you this. There's no end to this confusion if you let it wish. You well, soul to sell, highest bidders, can't you tell what you're getting? There is a light to all this darkness, I will tell you this. There's redemption in you asking them just why it is. Some answers are better left unspoken, when you know you ain't getting any younger. Are you? Younger. Are you? You ain't getting any
younger.
Are you?
Younger.
Are you? Why we fight to get on loving, I've been wondering how your mind will leave you hanging, your heart lingering. Stay lost and found by whoever stays around, forgetting. There is a way to be yourself, I assure you this. There's a way to catch your dreams without falling asleep. You might as well get it while you can, babe, 'cause you know you ain't getting it. Only we fight against them telling us how we should be. I refuse to have you break me when you know you ain't getting it.
Welcome back to the Fly Brother Radio Show. I'm Ernest White II, and I have the absolute honor and pleasure and privilege to be talking with the indomitable Sienna Brown. Thank you very much for being on the show today.
And thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
No, oh, well, thank you. That makes me feel good. I'm excited that you're excited. So, as I described in the introduction, I mean, you've got all the E's covered. Expat, entrepreneur, optimist, it's not an E, but it's definitely important, and you have founded Las Morenas de España, which has become this kind of powerhouse of a resource for people moving abroad and just moving outside of the box, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and I think something that's so great about what we do also is that it's not necessarily... It doesn't really depend as much on, like, as where you live, but also just, like, what kind of mindset you want to have and what type of life and lifestyle you kind of want to be living no matter where you are on the globe.
Yes.
Which is something that I really love about the community.
Oh, absolutely. And that, it's one of those things that I feel like it grows organically as you move through the world, you know, and it just magnetizes the right people to... the path to the purpose and the mission and all of those things that, you know, kind of are in some ways undefinable, but in other ways speak exactly to what we're all trying to do, which is just kind of be in these bodies and be empowered in them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also so great because you see the evolution, right? So, like, as you go through life, we see the evolution that, like, we have with ourselves depending on where we are, the people that we surround ourselves with,
yes,
and kind of what we're doing. And it's so amazing because kind of, like, when you run a brand as well, you kind of see, like, how the people in your community evolve as well. And you kind of see that it – well, for me at least, I saw that, like, LMDS shifted from people just wanting to hear other people's stories to kind of being like, oh, wow, I love this. How can I make this my own story? And how can I turn my life into something like this, you know?
Right, right. Well, see, in your TED Talk, which you – I get, when did you do it? I guess it was earlier this year?
Yeah, so I gave the TED Talk in spring. I think it was in March.
Okay.
It was in Madrid.
Okay, mm-hmm. And you were talking about sharing your story. And a lot of people are living vicariously through those of us who share our stories. But your point then is that you got a story to share yourself, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's a blessing and a curse, kind of what we have with social media nowadays. I think the mm-hmm. blessing is that we get to see all of these amazing people live these amazing lives. And it's kind of like you see the highlight reels of everyone
certainly,
and say, wow,
certainly.
Like, I want to inspire to be that. And I think it's also really great because you also get to connect with people who you would have never been able to connect with maybe 7 to 10 years ago.
Right.
But then the other side is like, you hear all of these highlight reels and you see all these people living their lives, but you don't see the day to day. And so you think, wow, they're doing that, but I could never do it. And it's kind of like what I mentioned in the TED Talk is kind of like the fact that the people who are on the other side of the screens are also real people. So
yes.
They still have struggles and they still have their everyday lives as well. And I think it's so important to say that, like, if you're looking at all of these people saying, wow, if they can do it, I think it's so important for people to realize that, like, you can do it too. It might take some work and it might take long hours and a couple of sleepless nights, but like if it's something that you really want to do and if you really want to make the change, you're so capable of doing it as well.
Oh, absolutely. And that's kind of what I say in the intro to each show. It's like anytime I mention a statistic or some kind of fact about my career or my travels and all that kind of stuff, it's not because I'm trying to brag. It's to
mm-hmm.
tell folks like there's no reason for you not to be doing this or whatever you want to do. And I know that people have issues with finances and family and health and all these other things. This is not, you don't know what I've got going on in my own personal life either. So that's the thing. Oh, you know, you travel so much, you must have a trust fund. Oh, you must not have any health issues. Oh, you must not have it. What I've got is blessings. That's
yeah.
what I've got. So,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sorry for, like, taking it
no,
on a tangent.
No, not at all. I mean, I agree with you, though, and I think that that's something that a lot of people kind of think. They say, oh, wow, you're living abroad, or oh, wow, you're traveling. You must have, like, savings for years. And it's like, or I'm just really good at budgeting. Like, I came from nothing. I know how to budget well.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, I made sacrifices to be able to kind of do it. And, like, something that also I think people don't take into account is that living abroad can be really affordable if
yes.
you do it right.
More
it
so than
be
being
so
in the
affordable.
States sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. A majority of the time,
yes.
especially if you're from New York.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you are from New York then. Give us a little bit of background. Like, you know, tell me about your growing up and how being in the world, you know, the one of the world's most high profile cities and you know, the biggest city in the States kind of got you started on the path to moving abroad.
Yeah, absolutely. I think my background story is pretty interesting because I'm originally from Brooklyn, but when I was in middle school, my family, my immediate family and I, we moved upstate to a really, really, really small town in the middle of nowhere
okay.
where I was the only black girl in my entire high school.
Oh, wow.
In the entire town. There were two
wow.
stoplights. It was tiny, right? And so I had this interesting upbringing of having my life upstate and then my life in the city.
Okay.
And as I got older and I went to college, I found myself kind of like drifting towards being in Brooklyn more. And so when I was in my junior year of college, I actually studied abroad in Madrid. I went to Vassar College, which is an amazing institution, and I
mm-hmm.
love it so much. And I was able to go to Madrid for 6 months.
Okay, nice.
And
study abroad.
While I was there, yeah, it changed my life. It opened my eyes to so many different things. And I was just like, wow, life can be easy. And I
yes.
think that was the point of my life where I was just kind of like, life doesn't have to be as difficult as we make it. Like, life can be really easy. You can enjoy things. You can have this kind of balance. And so I had the time of my life for 6 months. And then I went back, finished up my thesis. And right out of college, I was blessed to get a job doing communications and marketing at this really, really, really great branding firm in Brooklyn. I loved it. I was making good money. I had tons of opportunities for growth. My team was great and everything. But, like, we know how New York can kind of be. It can be really fast-paced. You never stop, and there's not really a lot of time to kind of just be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found myself continuously getting worked up, continuously getting stressed, feeling like I was being pulled in a million different places by work, friends, family, everything. And so there's a point where I was just kind of like, I don't want this right now.
Right, right.
And I was like, okay, well, if this isn't what I want, even though it was textbook, like, the perfect story, like, right out of college, making over $50,000 a year, like, getting promoted twice. And it was really great. But for me, I was like, I kind of want something more. And then I reminded myself, like, when was I my happiest in the past few years of my life? And I was like, wow, when I was living in Spain.
Mm.
So to make a long story short, decided to apply for a teaching program in February. I got in around May, and I made the move in September. So it was a really quick turnaround time. Yeah. It was a really quick turnaround time, but during those last months, I was saving a ton, and I was like, okay, I'm ready to do this. And so I moved to Spain to teach English, and my sights were set on moving back to Madrid, which is where I had kind of like my network here, but I was placed in Murcia, Spain. And I said, okay, I want to go. It was a small town in the south that I had never heard of, and I was like, I want to go. Let's just do it and see what happens. Fast forward, I'm still here. I love it. I've made a home here, and that's kind of like just the beginning of my story of my time here. So I kind of moved abroad as an English teacher, and I was teaching English, which is a way to stay in the country legally and multiple years. And so I was teaching English part-time, 12 hours a week, which is nothing. Which also gave me tons of time to do other things like start up Las Marinas de España and have more speaking opportunities and kind of also have time to live as well.
Yeah. Just to quickly interject, I'm sorry for interrupting.
No,
but,
please do. I'm just going off.
No, well, it's fascinating. But the thing is, I mean, you mentioned teaching. Like, my first job abroad was as a teacher at a university in Colombia, Universidad del Norte in Barranquilla. I taught English. Onika the Traveler's first gig abroad was teaching. Nicole Brewer of I Love to Globetrot also. I mean, there's, you know, that is an easy way of kind of getting your foot planted in a place legally and with some income. You may not be rich, but, you know, hey, you're doing it. Go ahead, sorry.
Exactly. No, and I was just going to piggyback off of that because I think so many people say, oh, well, I studied, like, I have my MBA or I have my whatever, so they don't necessarily want to come abroad as a teacher. They want to come abroad in their, like,
chosen field. Yeah.
And something that I tell people all the time is, like, you have to be flexible because, like, people think, like, oh, if I move abroad as an English teacher, I can only be here for 8 months. But fast forward, I've been here for 3 years, and in September, it's not off the books, but in September, I'm actually going to be working full-time doing communications and marketing for a Spanish company.
Which so back is, to the thing in your field, basically.
Exactly.
Yes.
But what happened, I had to be here for some time. I integrated myself in the community. I'm fluent in Spanish. I've really, like, made a life for myself here. And once you make those connections and you have that network and you also put in time and energy into your passion projects, like, God, the universe, everything just works out and says, here, let me put what you've been looking for.
Wow.
Like, down for you, you know?
Yeah. So you're preaching this afternoon is what you're doing.
A little bit.
You know, we need to hear it. That's the thing, man. You know, I moved to Brazil and I moved to Brasilia to a teaching gig. Did I want to do that? Not necessarily. I wanted to be living in Sao Paulo as a writer. But guess what? After a few months, I ended up living in Sao Paulo as a writer because I was open to the flexibility necessary to kind of go to be near where I was trying to get to. And I can't say I intentionally surrendered to whatever God or the universe kind of wanted for me, but I did it anyway. And that's how I ended up in the place that I knew in my heart I wanted to be. And so, I mean, we never know what path is going to take us where we do want to be.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree with you 100%, especially because I think that, like, so often we, like, create these plans for ourselves, right? So we're like, I have to be here by this time doing this, or else I'm not where I want to be.
Or, right. Which like, means or else I'm a failure is really what you're saying to yourself.
Yeah, and we can't, I mean, we have to be more lenient with ourselves. We have to be able to say, like, let me be open to what's supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. Still work hard towards what I want. And then you find out that, like, it just ends up working out. It might not be on the on the specific timeline that you're thinking about, but when you open up your mind to different possibilities, it really works out for you.
Whew. Just getting shivers hearing you say
that.
We're getting deep today.
I mean,
certainly. I mean, and that's the thing. The right people are listening to it. If you're listening to this right now, you need to be getting this message that, you know, and it's happening to me in my life with my career, just kind of that allowing. But it is hard to come by just because many of us, you know, we've got these layers of conditioning, of patterns that have been, you know, compressed upon us and then covered up with more foolishness. And so just working our way through all of that back to what we really want in life, what, you know, are, you know, the worthiness of it, of ourselves. Are we even worthy of the things that we want? Of course we are, but we don't think that because we feel like we've failed people in our lives and we've done these things that aren't forgivable and all this other gunk that is clogging up our machine. And so we end up spending so much time like just trying to sift through all of that in order to shine and to get to the places that we're trying to get to. And so, yeah, I'm appreciative when people articulate it better than I can, because it is something that's bigger than even the language that we have. You know, it's multidimensional, and you're feeling that you feel things, you feel like everything I want is coming to fruition. But you still don't know how, so you just have to sit back and let things go the way they're going to go.
It's so true. I'm laughing inside because that was my word for this year, fruition. Mm. At the beginning of this year, I was like, this is the year that everything I've been working towards is going to come to life. And I didn't know how it was going to happen. I thought it was going to be something completely different than how it's been, how it's been manifesting itself this year. But when I was looking at like during every quarter, I kind of do like wins and lessons from the past 3 months.
Yes.
And I did that recently and I was like, wow, a lot has happened in this past year. I would have never imagined any of it at the beginning of the year, but when you kind of let things come to fruition, it works out.
Well, and you said wins and lessons, not wins and losses. So yeah, like exactly. That, yo, seriously. So you're in Murcia. I'm saying it with the way those crappy Españoles say it. You know, I learned my Spanish in the Dominican Republic, so we
No, that was my first international trip. I love the DR.
The DR is, even with its issues and their foolishness towards our brethren, the Haitians, it's still, there's a lot to glean and to appreciate about
there's
the place.
There's a lot there.
And that's the other thing. When you travel, you start to really, I don't know. I find myself becoming more empathetic in the sense of being able to say, you know what, okay, I understand where you're coming from. I don't necessarily agree with it. And I think at least because I understand a bit better, then we can have a dialogue about it that may be more eye-opening to you, to both of us, than just, you know what, like, I don't, screw that. I'll boycott the Dominican Republic. I'll boycott Jamaica because of the homophobia. I'll boycott Russia because of the homophobia, or Zimbabwe because of its, you know, dictatorship. Like, that's not constructive.
Yeah.
Because nobody's really communicating, and that's the only way we're going to break through all the foolishness. The foolishness that's happening in our own country, you know.
It's so true, yeah.
Is only dealt with by connecting.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more, and that's something that I truly live by and I truly believe, because I feel like, especially, I think because the stigma around, and like speaking on my truth for a second, because the reason why I started LMDES was because if 3 years ago or 4 years ago you were to Google Black people in Spain, all you would get is like this slew of articles of how Spain is so racist, how everyone thinks that like any Black woman is a prostitute, et cetera. And I was like, that might be true in some situations, but also that's not the only thing that's happening here, right?
It's not the only truth.
Exactly. And so I was like, why are these other stories not being shared? And so I think for me, even more so, I love being able to have interactions with Spaniards about what it's like, not just being a black woman in Spain, but just, like, about black culture because, and American culture more than anything, because I think that here nationality presides over race, which is another really interesting
yes.
and intense topic.
Especially for those of us coming from the U.S. who don't necessarily feel as welcomed amongst our countrymen, and then we go to other places and realize that we've never been more American.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, like, it's something that, like, yeah, and you don't realize until you get out and you get to different places, and it might be like, okay, by first glance, someone might look at you and they say, oh, wow, you're black, and then you say you're American, and it's like, oh, wow, there's this entire, like, cool factor because mm-hmm. American culture is so idealized over here.
Yes.
And it's so, I think for me, I think that like every conversation is an educational experience to kind of tie back to what you were saying before.
Agreed.
And the only way that we can kind of like have cross-cultural education is by having these conversations and by going to these new places that challenge both the people who are living there and ourselves and kind of like learn from that.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. So what are some of the challenges that you have had living in Spain as a black woman?
That's a really good question. And as I mentioned before, I am an optimist.
No, that's so fine.
I know.
It means you look at those challenges from a positive perspective.
As well, yeah.
Right. But it doesn't mean that you haven't had to deal with foolishness.
Yeah, no, let's see. I think, okay, so there are two different situations. And this is two situations after living in the country for a total of almost 4 years, right?
Okay.
There are two situations that come to my mind. The first one was I was in Barcelona my first year here, and I was with a friend. My friend was Romanian, and he was a male. And we were walking, and it was around, like, 3 o'clock in the morning. We were coming back from somewhere, and we were walking by police, and I just felt the stares on me, and I was like, no, I'm not doing anything wrong. So I started speaking in English really loudly.
Right.
So that there wouldn't be any type of, like, misunderstanding.
Yes.
And I think that between also, I remember when I was getting dressed, I was like, I'm not going to wear a skirt because I don't want anyone to think that, like, I'm
a prostitute.
Well, yeah, that I'm a prostitute, to say it in, like, blunt terms. And then I was thinking about that, and I was like, how crazy is it that I have to kind of, like, edit myself in my dress out of fear, essentially.
Right.
And, like,
which, sadly,
of course,
though,
like,
women
yeah,
do
and,
that
like,
all over.
Yeah, nothing happened,
but
it was something that, like, I had to think about. And then I think another thing, and this might have been my biggest challenge, we'll say, is that, so last spring, I was diagnosed with alopecia, which just basically means that I lost all of my hair.
Mm.
And for me, I think the biggest challenge is that Spanish people are very, very blunt.
Yes.
And when it happened, I didn't necessarily know what was happening, but I remember, like, going to school and just, like, going through my everyday life when I went from, like, having, like, a fro to kind of having no hair. And, like, the comments and, like, the stares and everything where, like, I had to kind of, like, it was hard for the first week, especially because I was working with high schoolers and some of my colleagues were also kind of ignorant. And, like, one of them, she was like, oh, how radical. And I was like, I'm going to stop you right there because,
yeah.
Number one, you don't know the situation. Number two, it's not necessarily radical. It's just something that's different. And number three, I was like, it also wasn't a choice. Or, like, one of my kids were like, oh, Sienna, like, did someone in your family die? I heard that in Africa, when someone in a family dies, you shave your head. And I was like, thank you for asking. I was like, I'm not from Africa, so that doesn't necessarily apply to me, but no one died. Like, it's okay. And I think during that time period for me, it was really interesting because I found that, like, the stares really affected me more.
Mm-hmm.
But again, lessons, not losses, because during that time, I also remember that, like, a lot of the time it's in our head. So for me, I was feeling really, like, insecure during, not insecure, but just different. I was transitioning mm-hmm. during that time of my life. And so when people would look at me, because granted, Murcia is not a very diverse town. Like,
right.
I can safely say that I'm the only tall, bald black woman that
okay.
the city has seen.
Bless them.
Which is really fine.
Okay.
Yeah. And for me, it was so interesting because, like, people would look at me and, like, if I was in what I'd be like, is, like, can I help you with something? Like, are you okay? And, like, for me, I was, like, they're looking at me with this, like, malintent. But then there was this group of older woman one day, and they were all sitting there, they were talking, and they stopped and stared, and I was like, can I help you guys with anything? Like, are you okay? And they were just like, no, we were just saying how beautiful you were. And that was my, like, oh moment where I snapped out of it. So I was kind of like, I'm seeing all these things from my point of view, but I also have to, like, realize that cultural context, Spanish people stare, no matter who it is or what it is, if you're different in any way, shape, or form, they're going to look at you because that's just their culture.
Right.
And number two, like, we define how we see things. So for me, I was like, they're looking at me, like, thinking all these things. And for them, they're just like, oh, wow, you're so different and beautiful that, like, I've never seen anyone like you before, you know?
And you know what? That's so basically all you're saying is your real life experiences there are just like real life experiences anywhere else you will have to live as an adult in a society. So, you know, women worldwide have to sadly consider what they're wearing when they go out of the house just because, you know, assholes. And like, right, and then you are, and sadly, like you said, I mean, having alopecia here in the United States, people would stare because they're not accustomed to seeing a woman with a bald head. And so, you know, just, I really like how you're couching everything just in the fact that, like, hey, it's just, it really is a day-to-day life. And there are cultural differences that occur specifically because you're in a different culture. But how would that be any different for any of us living anywhere that's not our hometowns either? If it's not one thing, it's something else.
It's so true.
Thank you for sharing that story. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I would love to know more about LM de la Morena de España. I can't say the initials because I always want to say the whole thing, but I'm okay like that because I love Spanish. And we'll be right back. Audience, please stay tuned.
Chef Elliot Entertaining Solutions.
Fans and foodies alike, the moment we've all been waiting for is here. Celebrity Chef Elliot's Entertaining Solutions radio show is in full swing. Tune into the most alluring and entertaining food talk show with Food Network star Chef Elliot Farmer. Join the conversation to get exclusive food event details and gain an all-access pass to interviews with foodies and renowned chefs from around the world. Remember to stock your pantry, pack your fridge, and get your notepads ready for the tips and meal magic happening in the kitchen on Chef Elliot's Entertaining Solutions. Listen live every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the NEN. Brand ambassadors and business owners, the NEN has two questions for you. Are you ready to captivate thousands of new prospective clients, and are you ready to take your brand to the next level? If the answer is yes to both, then the Industry Entertainment Network is here to help you get there. Advertise with the NEN to give your brand the exposure that it needs on a national and international level to a diverse audience of substance and value. The Industry Entertainment Network is a global entertainment platform that highlights the positive aspects of music, film, culinary, lifestyle, and the beauty industries, with an emphasis on social and cultural issues. Our network features several evolutionary and elevating talk shows that are sure to appeal to your target audience at a fraction of the paid advertisement cost. Increase your business's and brand's value by taking advantage of our customer reach today. Contact us via email at www.welcometotheindustry@gmail.com or by calling 904-469-7511. Welcome to an exploration into the discoveries of independent talent on the Industry Radio Show. In this space, your Out of This World super hosts, Zakiya Yuwanda and Nicole Lester, will continue to shed light on extraordinary artists while confronting issues that impact our community, locally and abroad. You are especially invited to tune in to the weekly conversation, meet our phenomenal guests, and learn about the happenings that are landing on our radar. The Refuel Industry Radio Show is live every Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time We look forward to taking off with you here on the NEN.
In the wake of tragedy, a phoenix rises to restore hope needed by many to mobilize and effect the change they seek. In preparation for change in our communities, the Real Talk with Anita Spencer radio show reflects the expertise of author, entrepreneur, culture curator, and community educator Anita Spencer. Her life's experiences and purpose both lead her to awaken, empower, uplift, and strengthen families around the globe. Tune into her show weekly to have your spirit elevated, your mind broadened, and receive the inspiration to build yourself and others up. Listen to Engage in Real Talk to get real solutions to real issues that affect our communities. Wednesdays from 7 to 8 p.m. only on the NEN.
We won't land, y'all. Come on.
Walk right up to the sun.
In hand, every man,
we'll walk right up to
every
the
woman,
sun. We won't land.
I'm gonna praise him till I'm gone. I'm gonna praise him till I'm gone. When the praises go up,
the blessings come down. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. It seems like blessings keep falling in my lap. It seems like blessings keep falling in my lap. I don't make songs for free, I make them for freedom. Don't believe in kings, believe in the kingdom. Chisel me into stone prayer, whistle me into song air. Dying laughing with Krillin, saying something about blonde hair. Jesus, black life ain't matter. I know I talked to his daddy. Say you the man of the house now. Look out for your family. He has ordered my steps, gave me a sword with a crest, and gave Donnie a trumpet in case I get shortness of breath.
Praise him. Praise him till I'm gone.
Don't be mad.
Come down,
good God.
When the praises go up, oh,
good God.
The blessings come down,
the blessings come down.
When the praises go up,
the blessings come down.
When the praises go up, oh, the blessings come down.
Good God.
They booked the nicest hotels on the 59th floor with the big wide windows. With the suicide doors. Ain't no blood on my money. Ain't no Twitter in heaven. I know them drugs isn't close. Ain't no visit in heaven. I know the difference in blessings and worldly possessions. Like my ex-girl getting pregnant and her becoming my everything. I'm at war with my wrongs. I'm writing four different songs. I never forged it or forfeited. I'm a force to be reconciled. They want 4-minute song. You need a 4-hour praise dance performed every morn. I'm feeling shortness of breath, so Nico grab you a horn. Hit Jericho with the buzzer beater to end the quarter. Watch brick and mortar fall like dripping water. The blessings come down.
When the praises go up, oh, oh, the blessings come down.
The blessings come down.
When the praises go up,
are
oh, oh, the blessings come down.
For your blessings.
When the praises go up,
are
oh, oh, the blessings come down.
For your miracle.
Are you ready? 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 Are you ready?
It seems like blessings keep falling in my lap.
Welcome back to the Fly Brother Radio Show. I'm Ernest White II, again talking to the lovely and talented Sienna Brown, who is just, like, amazing. Thank you again, Sienna, for being here and talking to the audience today. From Spain.
Likewise. I would not be doing anything else right now. Meaning, like, I'm so excited to
Stop it. I can't.
No, I'm being serious.
I can't. I'm still working on my own self-worth issues, so, like, I can't take too much admiration.
It's okay. I hope I'm boosting your ego, because you deserve it.
Thank you. So, but back to you. You created the, why did you create Las Morenas de España? You touched on it a little bit, but kind of, I guess, give us the story behind how it got started, what it is, and where it's going.
Yeah, absolutely. So many people actually do not know this, but Las Morenas de España got started on the 2 train as I was headed to work on a hot day in July.
Okay.
I was getting ready to move back to Spain. And I had actually just come back from a yoga retreat, so I was feeling really, I was having a lot of clarity about everything, and I was thinking about, like,
how I love how you said that. I was really, like, radiating, basically.
No, it's true. It was, to be completely honest, the moment that, because I was on my way to work, and I always bring a notebook with me, and as the idea came to my head, I kid you not, it was the easiest thing that I think I've ever done. I was there and I was like, oh, wow, this name sounds really good. Mm-hmm. I know I would want to name it that. This is all that it could be in the future. And then it kind of just came from that idea because I was kind of frustrated with the fact that all of the stories you heard about women of color living in Spain are really negative. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking, I was like, I can either complain about it and be annoyed or I can kind of change that. And so when it first started, it was actually a lot of, there were informational articles and then there were also a lot of interviews. Because for me, something that was really important was not just having it be my voice.
Yes, yes.
Because for me, I'm like, cool, what I think is great, but like, it's so much more impactful to be able to share the stories, experiences, and advice from people all over the country and all over the world. And so I really, really had a highlight on like, I had a highlight on highlighting other people who were already living in Spain and who had done it. And so it started like that because I also wanted to share or like kind of redefine the thought process of what it means to live abroad. Because a lot of people think that living abroad means, okay, I'm there for like an 8-month vacation and then I have to go back to my quote unquote normal life. Or yes. I have to go back and quote unquote start my real life. And I don't necessarily think that it has to be that way because when I was planning on moving abroad, I was like, I'm going to make this my home for some time. I was like, I want to be living here long term, and I'm going to make it happen one way or another. And so I wanted to be able to kind of share the stories of more people who were doing that, who had been living abroad long term and who kind of had great things to share. And so that kind of continued to grow through events all over the country, and that's ranging from, like, small brunches or, like, themed dinners, kind of taking the online community and bringing it to real life.
Yes.
Which is a really, really, really special. And last year, actually, we hosted our first conference, which was definitely the first of its kind in Spain, and it was great because we had over 20 different speakers.
Wow.
And over 120 different people came from all over. So people flew in from the U.S. to participate, to speak.
Wonderful.
People flew in from the U.K., from Portugal, from Italy. And so it was amazing to kind of see how much the brand has grown and how many people it had kind of impacted and kind of the shift that it had taken from just being like, hey, we're going to share people's stories, like, hey, we're going to provide insights and resources to help people kind of thrive, which is the name of the conference, no matter where they're living. And so I think in the past year we've really had a focus on that, which has been kind of like giving people as many resources as possible to kind of be able to create the life that they're seeing other people live and be able to kind of create it for themselves.
Nice.
And so when thinking about where it's going, I'm so excited. We're hosting our first retreat in December, which is going to be amazing. So a lot of people have been asking if we were ever thinking about like hosting small group trips or anything like that. And I was holding off on it because I really wanted to make sure that if we did it, we did it right.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that for me, one of the biggest things is like cultural immersion. So like not just going to a country and speaking English and eating at McDonald's, but going to a culture, like going to a country or a city and actually knowing what it's like to like have a local experience there. And so I'm really excited. We're having it in Javier, Spain, in December. And so it's really great because I've been there 3 times in the past year. I know it really well. I know a lot of the people who we're actually going to be collaborating with. And it's great because it also gives an opportunity for people from the States who want to experience Spain, either because they want to move in the next couple of years or they just want an amazing kind of trip in this beautiful country, but they're going to be able to kind of like come, grow, have like personal, professional, and cultural experiences that'll hopefully be life changing.
Yes.
In some way, shape, or form.
And so how long is the retreat?
So the retreat this time is going to be for 5 days.
Okay.
And what we did was we rented out this like beautiful villa that's about like less than a kilometer from the beach. But the reason why we did that is because we really wanted to be able to make it feel like your family by the end of it, right? And so
right.
I feel like experiences in hotels are really cool and luxurious, but like it feels a little impersonal. So with
yes.
this, like we're all going to be sharing a kitchen. There's like different terraces. We're going to be having different like conversations and workshops and chats. We're going to be doing cooking classes together. There's going to be wine tasting in the house by this amazing woman of color. Her name is Nicole Pearson, and she's originally from Alaska, but she's been living in Spain for over 10 years. Yeah. And she has her own wine tasting experience and, sorry, her own wine tasting company. And so it's really awesome because we have really close ties with her. So it's nice to be able to kind of bring together different people who are already in the expat community here and have them share their skill sets with people who are coming from the States and just kind of have everyone come together for a good and enriching time, you know?
Nice. That sounds incredibly exciting. And
yeah.
Is it still possible to participate?
Or
is it sold out?
Yes and no. It's great because we wanted to keep it really, really small.
Okay.
So there's 18 spots. And in the first day when applications open, over 50 people applied, which is fantastic.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and so it's really, really good. But I would encourage people to check it out on our site and to sign up for the wait list because who knows, like more spots might be able to open up. And also we're going to be hosting more in 2018.
Okay,
so,
nice.
Yeah, so on our website, if you check out LMDES Getaways, you can kind of see what we have set up in December, sign up for the wait list, and then also you'll be on the list to keep an eye out for what's going to happen in 2018, because we're definitely going to be doing more.
Okay, so what then is the cost if someone gets on the wait list and then they get an email saying, hey, there's a spot open?
Yeah, absolutely. So the cost for a group room is $595, and the cost for a single room, which are all sold out, but it's $750. And for me, I think part of the biggest thing that I wanted to do is I wanted to be able to make it affordable for people.
Right.
So when you think about it, under $600 for 5 days for accommodation, breakfast every morning, 3 or 4 dinners included, workshops, wine tastings, a ton of things. Yeah, it's really, really affordable. And so I think that, well, for me, that was one of my biggest things. I was like, I want people to be able to come, have an amazing time, be able to afford it. And of course, there are payment plans available as well, and they're really flexible because we want people to be able to experience it if they want to, you know? And so for me, that was one of my big things, something that's affordable, amazing, that feels luxurious, and that you'll get a lot out of it.
Right. Well, I'm sad that I didn't apply earlier.
Oh, next time. There'll be more.
It's cool. Or I could just fly over there and hang out and, like, rent my own spot. And you
right?
Know,
and you're
I
like,
guess,
hey, I just happen to be in town.
Exactly. Can I come to the wine tasting if I bring my own ham, which is a very popular Spanish meat? So then going back to kind of, like, just living abroad, you know, your day to day, what does your day to day look like?
That is a fantastic question, because it changes so often. Okay. But I'll talk about what my day to day looked like when I was teaching English, because that was the majority of my time during the summer. I don't work teaching English, so I have a much more flexible schedule.
Okay.
But, so when I was teaching English, my day to day would normally look like waking up, of course, starting with that, no. But
wait, number one, wake up.
No, for me, I'm also really adamant on having a morning routine and starting my days off slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would wake up in the morning, kind of like drink my lemon ginger, and then kind of get ready to go to work. I would teach one or two classes in the early morning hours, and then I would maybe have a break of 1 to 3 hours. And during that time, I would actually work on Las Morenas de España,
okay.
Which is great because, so like, during that time, I was able to kind of like teach English as well as work on the business as well. And then once classes were done, I would come home. I always make sure that I have time to cook lunch at home because for me, that's like the best part of the day. I love cooking.
Yeah.
So I would make lunch at home. I would have a couple of hours to just kind of like relax. I would give a couple of private lessons in the evening, which is another great way to make supplemental income.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and then I would head to the gym, work out, and then come back home, go to sleep, and do it all over again. And so that's like what a boring day looks like, right?
That sounds so quite relaxing, though. I mean, you had your job that, you know, you earned some money, but you also had a lot of free time, it seems.
Mm-hmm. And it's really amazing. And, like, so I can't give that many details about what I'm going to be doing in September, but
okay.
I'm so excited for this job because it's literally like the dream job where I'm going to be able to kind of like meet with tons of different entrepreneurs and business owners as well as do a lot of fun activities, which means like leading people around the town that I'll be working in as well as like doing things from like kayaking to paddle boarding to everything. So it's a nice mix of like doing work behind a computer as well as really getting to know a huge international audience.
Right.
And doing it in the country that I love.
Nice.
And still having time to work on Las Marinas de España as well. So it really varies. But also something that I liked about my schedule teaching English is that I always had Fridays off. So 3-day weekends all of the time. Which means that I was able to travel to new places. I was able to do a bunch of different things, like go on short day trips to the beach or kind of go on longer trips, either to Madrid or to kind of go out of the country as well.
Morocco Sweden. Yeah.
Exactly. And so, yeah, it's been amazing because I've been able to see a ton of different countries like Morocco, Germany, Italy, Portugal, as well as like have my family experience it as well, which for me is amazing because I have a younger sister and she's a lot younger. And so she's able to spend her 12th birthday in the south of Italy. And I was like, you're lucky.
Yeah.
And it's nice to be able to kind of be able to have these experiences with my family and like explore these new places with them as well, which is awesome.
Well, so certainly, you know, you're just empowering other people by including them in your own empowerment. And that's kind of where the ripple effect happens. And so who knows what your little sister's going to end up doing in ways that we couldn't even fathom at our, you know, in our generation.
It's for me, that kind of, it makes me feel a little bit better about being so far away from home, right? You know, because sometimes it's hard if we're far away from family or our loved ones. But for me, that's something that I always think about. I'm like, I'm working my hardest to live a life that I am proud of and to live a life that's like authentic and true to what I really want to be doing.
Yes.
In hopes to inspire and empower other people to do the same, whether that's my grandmother and her own, like her doing that for herself, like whatever that means for her, or my sister or my mother or people who I don't even know on the internet, you know? And so for me, that's really important. And for me, that's also part of the reason why I try my hardest to like always be the best version of myself that I can be, because I'm like, if I'm not being true to myself, then how can I be true to anyone else who knows me, whether it's on a personal level or on a more expanded social level?
You know? Wow. Yes. Yes, yes. So, thank you for that. On that note, please tell our audience how they can find you online. You mentioned your website or one of the websites earlier, but how can people find you online?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so if you want to know all things Spain, moving abroad, living in a different country, definitely check out Las Morenas de España, and there you will find all of the goodness. And if you want to know more about me, you can find me on my personal site or social media, which is Siempre Girando. I'll spell it out really quickly.
For the English, the Anglophones in the audience.
Yeah, right. So it's S-I-E-M-P-R-E. G-I-R-A-N-D-O. And it basically means always spinning.
Yes.
And I love it because it's kind of, I don't know, speaks through my life. Like, we're always spinning. We don't know where we're going to end up. But
certainly.
The journey is beautiful.
Yes, yes. And the world keeps spinning faster and faster. So make sure you are making it worthwhile while you're, while you're riding
that
Bronco.
That.
Yeah, man.
I love that.
You're inspiring me. That's all I'll say.
It's so mutual.
Cool. Well, thank you again so much. It was phenomenal. A blessing.
Thank you so
I
much
really
for
appreciate
having
you.
Me.
No doubt. No doubt. And I hope to have you again on the show and collaborations and all that. So,
whenever you want, I'm here.
Cool. Thank you again, folks. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back with a little bit more here on the Fly Brother Radio Show right after this.
On the break of day, when the sky is gray and it seems to come down on my parade, darkness is in view. Need a glimpse of you. My world fills with joy at the thought of you. Gently you appear, I can feel you near. Like the moonlight shining low, shining bright on a cloudy day. Sky high, moving like a sunrise, kinda feel kinda nice, like the top of the day. Skylight, something like the moonlight shining low, shining bright on a cloudy day. Sky high, moving like a sunrise, kinda feel kinda nice, like the top of the day. Never seem to find a sound peace of mind till you come around. Moving like like a sunrise, kinda feel kinda nice, like the top of the day. Hey.
Welcome back to the Fly Brother Radio Show. As Sienna mentioned before the break, you can find out more about Las Morenas de España at LasMorenasDeEspana.com. LasMorenasDeEspana.com. And you can check out her personal website at SiempreGirando.com and on Instagram at SiempreGirando. And that's SiempreGirando. If you missed any portion of the Fly Brother Radio Show or would like to experience this session again, please log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/welcometotheindustry, that's industry without the I, to listen to the on-demand version of the show. You can email me directly at ernest@flybrother.net, and you can please like the Fly Brother Facebook page at facebook.com/flybrotherfly. Please share any questions, content, stories, anything that helps me to help others thrive. Listeners, please join us here next and every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern. That's GMT-4 for our international listeners. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Fly Brother here on the Industry Entertainment Network. Have a phenomenal weekend and an amazing week. Ciao, ciao.